Good morning, church. Is it cold out there? Oof. What's that? Yeah, no. Yeah, it's zero. It was below that at our place. All right. Well, we're glad to have you all here today. Brave the elements and to come in and share with us. To get started this morning, we have a baptismal certificate to hand out. On Monday evening, Jayla Burton was immersed into Jesus Christ. Here, it's like an award ceremony. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Yeah, it's very, very exciting time. Hopefully in that young one's life as well. I will say this, and it's really cool to see. I think Asher's just as excited as she was. It was funny. So like Monday night at the game, we had a game. But so all this transpired before the game that evening. And filled the baptistry, baptized her, emptied the baptistry. And then I heard Asher talking to her. So do you get to do communion Wednesday night? And she's like, no, I don't. He goes, well, wait, when will that? She goes, that'll be Sunday. And he was asking all these questions, and he was just as excited about it as I think she was. But so we are grateful that we had a new sister joining us in our time of communion today as well. And so that's always a good and an exciting thing. I will say this, between George's class and Josh's communion meditation, I don't have much new I'm going to share with you during this message. However, my thoughts were that if the Lord saw fit, that they are so intertwined that maybe this is just something that we need to be thinking about. We are going to be out of Romans chapter 8 this morning, eventually there in verse 5. Romans 8, there are so many just one verse thing that you could just go, opens up with those that are in Christ have no condemnation. And that's just, a wonderful passage that can be preached on. But anyway, we're going to be looking at verse 5 here this morning. What I was trying to do for this first a month of Sundays that we have in January is kind of try to be an encouragement, a kickstart, something for us to focus on if we're going to set new things in our life, challenges, resolutions, different things. So let's keep on with that, because usually most of them that we set, even the physical ones or the spiritual ones, we usually wane on pretty quick. And so let's just continue to keep pressing on. Romans chapter 8 and verse 5 says, "For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." And just a small verse there, really, but there's a deep impact that is felt there. It's easy of it as thinking of it in this manner. And this was way I was kind of had the opportunity, since we didn't have school on Tuesday, to go to the preacher's meeting up in Angola, and was able to I met with Tom Haney, and we were able to talk back and forth on the ride up there and back, and this was one of the things he said. Had a gentleman that he's been working with and has some issues, as we all do. So don't think this guy is an anomaly that, hey, is there somebody in the church with problems? Yes, and so he was just saying that, he tried to encourage him and look at it from this perspective. And so when you go to do these things, are you taking the Holy Spirit with you? Or are you taking another type of spirit with you when you do these things? And so I put it this way: are we walking hand in hand with the devil or with the Holy Spirit of Christ? When you have that thought, whatever it may be, is it while you're standing next to the devil? or while you're standing next to the Holy Spirit. Because I can tell you what kind of thoughts you're going to have by who you're embracing. And who you're letting embrace you. Or more accurately, not just at your side, but actually within you. Are we living according to the flesh? To our own ideals? Our own thoughts? Our own behaviors? Or are we living with the Holy Spirit within us? And that's one of those things that I hope that we're reminded of it more than often than just when someone is immersed into Christ, but that is them accepting the Holy Spirit into their life. Unfortunately, I've known a lot of people that have been immersed that rejected the gift of the Holy Spirit, and your walk pretty much stops right there because this is a very important thing for us to consider, especially for trying to set the tone for the rest of the year and make good habits in our life. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 says, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, that means if you've been buried with him in baptism and arise to walk in the new life, raise your hand here this morning if that's happened. See, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking things above, because you didn't do that because you loved the devil. You didn't do that because you walk hand in hand with demons. You did that because you love Jesus. And that's why we did that. And so keep thinking on those things which are above, where Christ is. He's seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. And therefore, that verse alone really sets a standard for us that as we look, unfortunately, I did a funeral this past week for Robert Coeur. And so as we see that with his passing, so this should be in our life. Either we're thinking about temporal things or we're thinking about heavenly things. Because if you remember even the story or the lesson shared of the rich man and Lazarus, even as he is separated and not, the rich man is not in the bosom of Abraham, he is still only considering temporal things. Can you please send Lazarus with just a little bit of water? What do you think a drop of water is going to do in hell? Nothing. And that shows the mindset, that shows the thinking of individuals when they're outside of Jesus Christ. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are of the earth. So what consumes your time? What do we focus on? I'm not saying it's wrong to talk and think about things on earth. We have to a certain degree. But what becomes our focus? Verse 3, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Where have we died? It's dead men that are buried. And we arose to walk in that new life. But with all that said, I want for us not to consider our walk in this life as a tally board. Don't go through or a scale. Don't say, well, so by 9 o'clock I did this, and this good, but I did think, mess up and thought this. So it's 3-1, but I'm doing good. Oh, you know, and then 10 o'clock rolls around and the seniors are in your Bible class, and then you have multiple bad thoughts, right? And so then you're like, oh man, no, that's not the case. But as we, you know, so now it's 4-3. Oh, so I'm having a bad day. okay, so I'm going to go out and I'm going to encourage somebody and I'm going to pray for somebody and so I can add two more over. That's not the way it works. That's not the way you decide whether or not you've had a good day or not for the Lord. Overwhelmingly, it should continue to be, if there was a, the tally board goes this way, and, if at all unfortunate, we mess up. But there's not a tally board. We're not to think that way. It's not a matter of how much good can I do versus how much evil can I do. And if I end up at the day and it's 51 to 50, then I've won for Jesus. No, you haven't. You haven't. It's not that way. A slight majority does not give you the win. We remember in scriptures that we're told that we are more than conquerors. When we go against Satan, it's not just a matter of, woo, we pulled out that victory. It ought to be that we crush them. Jesus already did that on the cross. Gave that death blow to him. We are looking for that overwhelming victory. I think this past week in NCAA basketball, more top 10 teams have been beaten in any one week than ever before in the history of basketball. Like just about, I think, 8 out of the 10 top 10 have been beaten this week. And so what we're looking at that, and so we look at that and we think, oh, well, that's what we're saying is, no, we don't want the game to be close. Right? I think I've talked to Derek about this before. You know, when the Lions play, I don't want it to be 22 to 21. I want for it to be like 42 to nothing. Right? I want for it there not to be hope for the other team. I want for it to crush their spirits. And that's the same way it should be when it comes to our living against the devil. We're not going to make it a 51-50 victory. Woo! We pulled that one out. It's let's crush him. And so as we look at that and we think of that, it's not about the tally board. Have I done more good today than evil? And so in this verse, I know a few weeks ago we went out of kilter and had 4 points. This two. Okay? The first one is the mind of flesh. The mind of the flesh. You know, these are those that are under the influence of corrupt and sinful desires of the flesh. Now, I'd like to say that that's the outside world. That's all those evil and wicked people that you work with at the job and on the assembly line. But unfortunately, as we see this, Paul is writing this book to Christians. And so that's kind of sad from our perspective, but what it is, it's a reality check for us that just because you have been immersed, and I know I've got this in my notes somewhere, so if you hear it again, but just because we have been immersed doesn't necessarily mean you've been converted. Because I know a lot of people right away that are immersed for the forgiveness of their sins, and they're to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, but boy, they quench that spirit real quick. So be careful. Be careful is what we're saying. Do you have that mind of flesh? This is where we'll start to share some of the things that Josh shared with us. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21 says, "Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." I am, never been immoral in any of my thinking. Oh, right. Because even Jesus says, don't even think about it. Not just don't do it, don't think about it. impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy. And so as we look at these enmities, strife, and jealousy, these may be some of the bigger ones that affect us sitting right here, right now, today. Are we all fully in love with each other as brothers and sisters of Christ? No enmity. No jealousy. No strife. If not, guess who's winning? That's not a Holy Spirit action. That's a flesh thing. But you may be a Christian and struggle with that. Outburst of anger. Right? Well, I didn't really say anything, but no, but you had an outburst of anger. Disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you. This isn't the first time that those who practice such things, and that's where those of you in the sports world, you understand that idea of practice, right? So we got a game. We're gonna practice what we want to do in the game. This is that same idea that we put these things into practice, right? We just let, right? These little things, right? We'll say, you know, those little pet sins that really don't matter to anything. Like anger, an outburst of anger. Let's stop and consider Moses for a second. Had a little outburst of anger, killed an Egyptian, right? And we'll say, well, that was actually, you know, that maybe wasn't a bad thing. I mean, that wasn't an Israelite. It wasn't, you know, he was actually starting to give himself over to God and things of that nature. But then, did he ever get rid of that little pet sin of anger? Speak to that rock and give him water. Wham! And he hits it. Mad. Outburst of anger. Oh, it was just a little pet sin. He didn't get to see the promised land because of that. And how many of us as Christians will miss out on the ultimate promised land because of just little things? It's not really that bad. It just affects me. It's nobody else's problem. It's just something that I got to work on. Paul says, I've told you once, I've told you twice, it's time to get these things figured out. You say you're not involved in these things, that you're not practicing these things, but you do these things consume your mind more than you realize. And the flesh wins out. Those who are unrenewed, this is where says, please understand, just because one has been immersed doesn't mean that they've been converted to Jesus Christ. They are supremely devoted to the gratification of their corrupt desires. Unfortunately, we've had people that have entered into this watery grave that go on living their life with no change. And I'll just let you know, nobody has it perfect that they don't need to make changes to their life. We all need to make changes to our life, but do we let that flesh win? Do we let that mind of flesh win? That means that they have no real repentance or acceptance of the Holy Spirit. In other words, they went in a dry sinner and they come out a wet one with no real change to their life. Now, how do we know that? We don't know that, may never know that. But sometimes the long haul lets you know. But the Lord knows. Here's the great distinction between the Jews and the genuine Christians that are being talked about here in the book of Romans. And the former are after the flesh and under the power of the carnal, rebellious principle, and consequently the earthly mind. Again, so what dominates your thinking? They relish the things of the flesh, the things of which only meaning, that only have meaning in this present life. That's what I was talking about, the spiritual and the eternal versus the temporal. But we do the temporal and we live the temporal in our life because we serve a living and loving God. And I'll not put him first here just for a little bit, and he'll understand, because you know we got to, you know, I got to impress the boss, or whatever it may be, or you know, hey, I love my family, and so missing services to be with my family, God gets it, he understands. He understands when you put the flesh over the spiritual. He gets it. And the difference is he doesn't stand at the door there on the way out and be like, loser, 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 winner, loser. He doesn't do that to us. He doesn't, you know, make the car tire go flat on the way home, so it's a sign that you've been a sinner. All right? Now when your tire goes flat on the way home, you're going to be like, oh my goodness. No, I hope that doesn't happen to anybody today. But do we get it? That's that free will that God has given us. If you eat of this, you will surely die. They didn't drop dead. You know, maybe if that would have happened, we would have had some new things to consider. But they're like, you know, I didn't die. But their relationship with him did. It had changed forever. And when we put this meaning for the present life ahead of the eternal life, it starts to lead for us in a way that it doesn't happen in leaps and bounds. It happens incrementally. Many Christians are like this today. Is your first thought for Christ? It's easy, yes or no. And I can ask you a couple questions, you can ask me, and we can find out real quick. It's not like it's a hidden game. Is your intentions and your thoughts for Christ, for the church, for the lost? I mean, are these the things that are top of your focus? Is your mindset on things of the flesh? As a Christian, our thoughts of the flesh must decrease, and our thoughts that are engaged with the actions of the Holy Spirit must increase. Just the same as John had said about Jesus, I must decrease so that he may increase. The spiritual things in our life need to increase as we make and manage and have power over, as we overwhelm, as we crush those things of the spirit or the flesh in our life. That was point number one. Point number two, the mind of the spirit. Those things which the Spirit produces, or which he affects in the mind. And so as we look at this, Jesus had said that an olive tree will not produce fig trees. And so there's two lessons for us to live here, to learn here. You're not going to produce something that you're not. And there is the law of reproduction. that if you do reproduce, it will be what you are. Non-Christians can't make Christians. Christians should be making more Christians, producing fruit. What's our mindset? Is it on the things of the Spirit? Here we go with Josh. Josh, or Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such thing there is no law. Is there a law about going into a bank with a gun, putting it to the teller's face and saying, give me all your money? Is there any law that talks about how that is wrong? Yes. Yes. Is there a law that says you shall not go over the speed limit? Yes. Is there a law that talks about paying tax? Yes. Whether we like it or not. But is there a law that says you can only be this kind? When it comes to being good, you're going to have to learn to put a cap on it. When it comes to trying to have peace and to show peace, you can only take so much of it. Is that what the Bible says? It says, no, against these things there is no law. That means you be as kind as you can be and keep going. You be as good as you can be and keep being gooder. Right? Joy, love, peace, patience. You know what that means? That's right, keep waiting. That's what patience is. That's what patience is. Against things there is no law. This verse is for the purpose of illustration. It is designed to show that the tendency of religion is to produce an entire and devotedness to the service of God as people had before rendered to sin. And so when we look at this, so these are the fruit of the Spirit that are in our life. The fruit of the Spirit that's in our life. We ought to be so much into those just as we were into those wicked things that we had just previously read in the prior verses. Matter of fact, we just swap them totally out. No more strife. No more dissension. No more factions. No more drunkenness, carousing, whatever it may be. But we focus on these things and we are so engulfed in these things, there is no room for the flesh. That is that we would be fully engaged to that which we have devoted ourselves. And so I can tell, you can tell, they can tell, but already God already knows. You don't have to tell me if you're struggling. We can see it. You don't have to tell me whether you're walking according to the Spirit or not. We can see it. If every other Christian that you ever come in contact with is an idiot and a moron, I venture to say you're not walking in the Spirit. But yet, how many times is that how we refer to our brothers and sisters? They're idiots. Yeah, and so am I. But I'm just saying, if we have that attitude, where's the Spirit of God and Christ in all of this? Yeah, they messed up, and so do you, and so do I, and so does everybody else. But we don't have to. As the Christian, therefore, we've devoted ourselves to Him in the service of the Spirit and have been brought under His influence. It was to be expected that each Christian would make it his great and only object to cherish and cultivate the graces which the Spirit would produce. In other words, their thought, Paul's thought, was that there's no going back. As was shared this morning, there's no plan B. It's plan A, and it's all steam ahead, or everybody, this is all how we're going. Romans 8:9 says this, however, remember he's talking to those that struggle with whether you're in the flesh or the spirit. He's reminding them that you are a Christian. I'm reminding you that you are a Christian. However, you are not in the flesh, but you are in the spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Do we let the Spirit, do we let the fruit of the Spirit, do we let those things reign forth in our life? And not so that at the end of the day, it's attitude of the flesh 50 and attitude of the fruit of the Spirit 51. At the end of the day, I want it to be 98 to nothing. All Spirit thoughts. Right? That's what we need to be shooting for. That's what we need to be focusing on. Because if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ in him, then he does not belong to him. That means you may say you're a Christian, but the Word, your actions say you're not. That you're not in him. You're not in Christ. I don't care how many times we put you under the water. They who are regenerated, as 2 Corinthians talks about, that new creature, as Titus says that we are regenerated by the baptism, if we are born of the Spirit, being redeemed from the influence and the law of the carnal mind, these relish the things of the Spirit. That means as Christians, instead of thinking about how somebody harmed us or somebody hurt us, and usually it's just a pride thing. In other words, get over yourself. Do we sit around and say, how in the world can I do more good? How in the world? How can I be more kind? Right? Is that the way we, you know, is that the way? How in the world? What could I do to show more peace? These things have to dominate our thinking. Not easy, but it needs to try to happen. We need to allow it to. These are the spiritual minded. They pass through the things that are temporal. Yeah, that means we see something, we think about it. But, you know, in the grand scheme of it, it really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. We'll say this. I was very tickled and pleased that Michigan won on Monday night. But I had a far greater time talking about the victory we had with Jayla. Because, yeah, okay, whatever. But this is an eternal impact. And this is what the apostles in the apostolic times distinguished between the carnal Jew and the spiritual believer. The Jew was after things that hopefully we as Christians have come a better knowledge of. It meant more to them to have Herod's temple than the Son of God. It meant more to them to talk about the glory of Solomon's temple and the Ark of the Covenant than for a blind person to receive their sight from the Messiah. They sought tangible things. They sought temporal things. I pray that the church today has moved beyond that. It's not about a cross you wear around your neck. It's about the love you have in your heart. You can show me all the stuff you want to show me. But as Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. The grand mark of distinction between the normal person and the pew sitter, between the nominal or pew sitter and the real Christian, is it easy for us to detect? And sometimes we do that and we don't even realize it. As you walk out the door today, I can tell what's on your mind if you say, "See you next week, preacher." I already know what's on your mind. You already said, "I won't be here tonight. I'm going to skip out on prayer meeting on Sunday, on Wednesday night." You've already told us in your mind, whether you've said that or not. When you say, you've already made up your mind that it's good for this hour and a half, but I like thinking about the flesh the rest of the time. The former is earthly minded and lives for this world. And the latter is spiritually minded and lives for the world to come. No offense, but I'm just living here to get through this place, to get through this world. That doesn't mean I don't love people and love things along the way. But if I was on a train, it'd say, "Next stop, heaven." Anyone want to get out and see the sights? No, I think I'm just going to stay in my seat. My destination is what I'm seeking. However, that doesn't change. There's a journey that we have to be on. If you're here today and you're outside of Jesus Christ, we pray for you to understand that difference. I encourage you. I hope this was a message of encouragement that it's really simple. There's only two choices. If it's like taking a test or a quiz at school that's true and false, and everybody, "Oh yeah," but I'm letting you know all the answers are true. So how's it going to be on that quiz? Gonna nail it, Gabby? All true. Every answer's true. There's two choices, but the only one that counts is true. That's the way it is with Jesus. There's two choices. The spirit or the flesh. Let's choose the spirit today. Believe in Jesus Christ that he is the Son of God. Repent of your sin that separates us from him. Confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Be immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, amen, and live faithfully unto him. If you're outside of Jesus Christ, I urgently plead with you today, right now, not to leave until you've taken care of that situation. Because we'd like to think we've got forever. We'd like to think we got 30 years left. We'd like to think that we've got at least 10 years left. You know what? Nobody knows. But you can know that today can be your day of salvation. Choice is yours, the flesh or the spirit. The answer? Spirit of Jesus Christ living in you. Will you stand as they lead us in our song of invitation?
Let's submit.